Faith Today is a magazine that tries to keep up with evangelical Christianity here in Canada. A recent article features the life, the story, the experience of Katrina McLeod. Katrina, who now directs a program called Walk With Me in the Greater Toronto Area school system, opens up about her life as a prostitute in Toronto for many, many, many years. In the article, she readily shares about a deep internal hurt that she was experiencing, particularly as she estimates having probably sold herself, her body for sex, more than 10,000 times. At one point, her oldest daughter, of four, herself having found Jesus Christ, approaches her mom and encourages Katrina to go talk to someone about Jesus. Purely convinced that it's only Jesus that would enable her mom to take a deep breath, begin changing the cycle in her life, and lead a much healthier lifestyle. In the article, there's a picture of Katrina, and when you look at that picture, one of the first things I observed was a person completely filled from top to bottom with tattoos. One powerful tattoo is now across her neck, basically the only place she had left. And that tattoo reads, Grace. Grace. Katrina talked to someone about Jesus Christ. Thank the Lord, that person was able to introduce Katrina to Jesus Christ. And though it took some time, and though it was a journey for sure, Katrina eventually became to understand God's love for her, Jesus' sacrifice for her, and the presence of the Spirit wanting to be part of her experience and help her lead a very different but a much healthier life. Katrina, as she began to understand grace and what it means to respond to the gift of grace, explains how every area of her life, her financial situation, all of her relationships, her own body image, everything needed to be touched by God's grace, and everything needed to somehow reflect the gift, the reality, and the power of God's grace. Katrina today is director of Walk With Me, an organization that seeks to put a stop to human trafficking in the GTA area. When asked what motivates her, when asked why she does what she does, her response is very simple. Because Jesus changed my life. And I realize that his calling is now on every area of my life. And instead of being concerned about her, Katrina finds that she's got a deep love, a deep concern, a deep passion for people around her with whom she's able to connect, to whom she's able to relate. Luke reminds us this morning that as we receive the grace of God, as we trust for that grace to completely cover us and to change all of who we are, as we move from a trusting to obeying, as we've already sung, Luke reminds us that the grace of God does affect every area of our lives. It changes every area of our lives. And that the grace of God always needs to come first or before or becomes a priority as it becomes the lens through which we look at people around us, through which we engage the experiences which we are a part. In verse 51, we'll focus more, verses 57 through 62, but in verse 51, Luke tells us that as the time approached for him, or Jesus, to be taken up to heaven, this is now referring to the ascension, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. It's a powerful verse, really setting sort of the stage, if you will, for verses 57 through 62. Jesus resolutely, it literally reads, Jesus with his face still shining. We've just heard, at least the readers of Luke have just heard about the transfiguration of Jesus Christ. Jesus goes up on this mountain and he has an intimate, direct experience or encounter with God. And it changes even Jesus. It changes his appearance. And Luke picks up on that when he writes here in verse 51, Jesus, with his face still beaming, his face still bright, Jesus resolutely sets out for Jerusalem. Luke is trying to point us to the fact that Jesus is fully committed to doing what the Father has sent him to do. Jesus is fully committed to going all the way through suffering to death, into hell, and then into the empty grave. As Jesus resolutely sets out for that work and that ministry, we first of all need to hear him say, look, look, I've got this. I've got this. Stop working, trying to get ahead and trying to meet the deep needs in your life. Stop working so hard at trying to make others appreciate you, love you, or make you feel valuable or included. Stop. Stop trying to live this lie that it's all up to you. Jesus resolutely sets out for Jerusalem. Jesus says, I've got this. I am going to die for you. I'm going to sacrifice for you. I'm going to be victorious over death and brokenness and sinfulness and limitations. And then as Luke begins to think about what that means or what that looks like in the lives of those who respond to surrendering then to Jesus Christ, we find him engaging three people, three journeys, three stories, three very brief conversations. As they were walking along the road, a man said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. The one thing that strikes me immediately about this person is that this person seems as resolute or as bound and determined as Jesus is. They were walking along the road, and this person, who remains completely unnamed, it could be anyone. In fact, Luke is encouraging each of us to envision ourselves becoming part of this conversation with Jesus. And to hear ourselves say, Lord Jesus, I'll go wherever you want me to go. Jesus, I will follow you wherever you go. And as I read that, as I think about that, as I try to pick up the emotion in the passage here, I would like to think that Jesus would say, fantastic, that's great, that's wonderful, welcome aboard. But he doesn't, does he? Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Excuse me, Jesus? You can see that as people who are listening to Jesus probably kind of going, what's that? What does that mean? What are you talking about, Jesus? Foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Jesus answers this man. He responds to this man. But he tries to set the record straight. You want to follow me wherever I go? Well, then you need to realize that unlike any earthly teacher, unlike any earthly leader, unlike any rabbi of the day, we go home at the end of the day, but our home is not in this place at the end of the day. You want to follow me wherever I go? Okay, says Jesus, but then realize that you're becoming part of a movement that does not ultimately find its home right here on earth. Foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. The Son of Man here is a stranger. The Son of Man realizes his calling to the earth, realizes his powerful work on the earth, for all people on the earth. But Jesus says, this kingdom, this message that I live and that I teach, that I represent, ultimately, does not find its home here on earth. A little bit later in verse 60, Jesus mentions the kingdom of God. It does two things for us, I think, in this first conversation. It does two things. It encourages us, but it also challenges us. Throughout the Bible, we hear that the people of God are always sort of strangers, right? Strangers here on earth. Aliens and strangers, Peter will later call the Church of Jesus Christ. In some ways, I think the encouragement is when we experience this idea that we seek to live out our love for Jesus Christ, or we seek to respond to Jesus Christ, we seek to ask questions about Jesus or learn more about who he is and the church that seeks to love and serve him. There's a tension sometimes, is there not? And that tension is people around us maybe not necessarily respecting our wanting to love Jesus or worship him. People not understanding the love of Jesus Christ, the Church of Jesus. And we can identify with that. Then the challenge within this first conversation really is the kingdom of God, if it doesn't find its home here on earth, right? We know that it finds its home in eternity. In eternity. And so as we follow Jesus also into the week that lays before us, yes, we may experience some tension, But every conversation we have, every person we are privileged to meet, every decision that we make, we understand that we are investing somehow, we are affecting somehow, we are preparing somehow, not just for the here and for the now here on earth, but into eternity, following Jesus, preparing for all eternity with Him. The second time, Jesus tries to get ahead of the conversation. Verse 59, He says to another man, "Follow me." But the man replied, "Lord, first let me go bury my father." Jesus approaches another unnamed individual. Again, it helps us become part of the story and part of the conversation. Any person, to each one of us here, Jesus says, "Follow me." But this person replies, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." Quite naturally, I would think that this person has something very important to tend to. This person has experienced an intimate loss in life, the loss of a parent. And then, as today, right, in those moments, things kind of stop. The world kind of stops. And though maybe at first we sense some of the tension, the but of this man, very quickly we're able to identify, we're able to approve, we're able to understand why the answer comes the way that it does. Then Jesus once again has probably people scratching the back of their heads as He says in verse 60, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." No matter how many times I read that, at first glance anyway to me, it seems super insensitive of Jesus to say that. "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." But very quickly, when we think about the story of Jesus in its entirety, and when we're reminded that Jesus is resolutely, fully committed to heading to Jerusalem, the place where He will die, He will suffer and He will die, He will experience hell, separation from His heavenly Father. And when we realize how many times Jesus reaches out to the very people that maybe have a story not unlike Katrina McLeod's, that are deeply hurting, have deep, great internal needs affecting their hearts, their souls, their minds, everything that they are. We realize that Jesus is certainly not insensitive. Jesus deeply loves. But both, again, as an encouragement and a challenge, Jesus says, even before something as important as burying a loved one and facing the reality of death, loss, grief, go proclaim the kingdom of God. Even before that, the message of the kingdom, the reality of the kingdom, the good news of the kingdom, the gospel, life, needs to come first, needs to go before. Go proclaim the kingdom of God. Maybe, as we think about responding to Jesus and his sacrifice, his complete commitment to us, to our lives, to our salvation. We can identify with this second person, and we might just only briefly thinking be able to come up with kind of a list of the yes, buts. Notice this man doesn't say no. He just says, well, I'll follow you, but I first have to. We might well have our own buts ready, even as we worship, as we prepare to go into a brand new week. Want to follow Jesus. We want to be true to his message. We know we're identified as the followers of Jesus Christ. We think about the kingdom and we know it's about the message of life, reconciliation, compassion, mercy, forgiveness. Yes, but Jesus, there are things that are important in my life that I need to tend to first before I can represent the gospel, speak the gospel, or live the gospel. Becomes again an encouragement and a challenge as we respond to him who suffered and died to make sure that before everything people know about us, that we are gospel followers, gospel lovers, gospel livers. Still another person finally says, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. And Jesus replies, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. We sense the same willingness. The same person. We sense again that resolution Jesus has as well. I'll do it. I'll go. I'll follow. But first, let me say goodbye to my family. Again, as readers of the text, we might well say, that sounds fair. Sounds very fair. Family, super important to us. Super important to us. But then once again, this questionable look, this questionable response, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. This kingdom which invests, which looks into eternity, and is all about the gospel. Jesus Christ, his death, his resurrection, and his powerful ascension. Jesus, with his final answer, paints a picture. Those days in Palestine, right? Jesus is talking to an agricultural community. And this is the picture that he's trying to paint. As this farmer is trying to plow the field, putting his hand on the plow, but looking backwards would mean what? Well, they have no idea in which direction he's headed. And in Palestine in those days, those fields were not nearly as nice looking as the fields around here. They had rocks and trees and fence posts and all kinds of things that they could run into. Jesus says, so this person who really does want to, but first would prefer to say goodbye to their family, Jesus says, doing that, though, may mean you miss an important opportunity to go where the kingdom of God and the gospel message needs to be heard, shared, and lived. Don't put your hand to the plow and look back. You might go someplace where the plow has no business being. You might go someplace where you don't need to be, and instead bypass a powerful opportunity to invest in someone's eternity and to speak the gospel of Jesus Christ. In some ways, the passage here is, it's a high standard as I've read and reread it. In some ways, this can be pretty daunting. In fact, Jesus talks to three people, and it seems that none of them really sort of get it right. I think it is important to note that Jesus doesn't criticize them. He simply just corrects them, teaches them, and nudges them into a life of greater discipleship. And so as we prepare for the rest of today and this week that lays before us, may we be mindful that God will provide us with they might seem like small, but powerful opportunities to represent the kingdom, to invest in someone's eternity, and to live and speak the gospel. Let's pray together. God, we give you thanks that Luke provides for us this picture of Jesus being so committed to the mission. And this morning we acknowledge that mission involves each of us. And we thank you that it's for us, Jesus, resolutely set out to suffer and die. And we thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, that you experienced true separation from God. And we acknowledge, O God, this morning that you have created us to live in relationship with you, to know you, and to love you. Holy Spirit, help us respond to the totality of Jesus' work and mission as we give thanks. And as you provide us, each of us, such unique conversations or moments or opportunities to make decisions that powerfully continues to usher in your kingdom and build your church. Help us to trust and obey, not to be fearful. Help us, O God, to surrender. We pray this for Christ's sake. Amen.